Welcome to Second Takes Podcast, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you may be listening to us on the War Eagle Sports Radio. A big shout out to them. Thanks for hosting us, as always. Here with me again is our good co-host, Ben. Ben, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm full.
Awesome. Yeah, we just got finished with a wonderful lunch, didn't we?
Yes, we did, and I overdid as usual, but it's a buffet, and I'm an American, so what are you going to do?
Right, and I'm a whole lot more hyper than you are right now.
You really are. Usually I'm the hyper one. You are just, like, pumped and ready to go.
Well, you know why, Ben?
I do know why.
Why? Why am I so energetic?
Because we are almost just shy of, we are, let's say, 5 days and 2 hours away from kickoff?
That's right.
Something like that.
This week, Thursday night, we get Southeastern Conference football, and Saturday is game day.
Yes, the game day.
That's the only reason I need to. That's why I'm so energetic. It is game week. We actually get to break down an actual football game.
Yes, we do. Some of us, we're gonna make our predictions today as about the game itself in general. Of course, we got a few other things to report on first.
This is true. This is true. Want to get, right into the cube? A little bit different. We normally do football. We've got a little bit different kind of cube today. So.
Slightly different. Hold on. I don't know why I'm not fully alert today.
I think it's that buffet.
It really is.
You're dragging a little bit today.
I had the pizza and gosh darn it. Well, see, I was okay with what I had, and then you had to order the macaroni and bacon
macaroni and cheese and
deluxe
bacon.
Omega edition, something like that. Anyway, hold on. I did it.
There we go. All right. Into the cube. Hey, another reason to be excited. Bruce Pearl's show cause is officially over.
Yes, it is.
The Bruce is loose on the Southeastern Conference for Auburn basketball.
You said the Bruce is loose.
The Bruce is loose.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, so we were reading some stats about what he's done just in the short amount of time. It's been just barely over 12 hours.
Right. What was it you gave me? Over 10 years or whatever
from
it was?
2010 to 2014, what I read was we recruited in basketball only two top 100 rated players.
Right.
He has gotten two in the past 3 days.
Exactly. And that's what we're going to talk about in the cube today. Normally, it's devoted to talking about football because that's been the thing that's been going on, the recruiting of different football players. I want to talk about those two four-star recruits that have come along in the last couple of days. The first one being a 6'6", 195-pound. They have him as a guard in high school. He's projected to play out on the wing. Four-star Daniel Purifoy. And he chose us over Alabama and several other places. Virginia, I think. Maybe Virginia Tech. Places like that he could have went. Looks like that he's going to be coming to Auburn to play out on the wing for us. That's a pretty good size guy out on the wing. You know, they say he's got great ability not only to rebound, he drives to the hole very well, and he's pretty good shooter from the outside, and not afraid of contact, which is very important. Especially in our conference games.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I mean, because there's only so much I can actually say. What was his size again? Just let me know.
6'6".
6'6". Yeah.
195 pounds.
195. That's scary. So, I would not want. I mean, I'm a terrible basketball player, but I would not want to have to guard against that.
Right.
I'm going to get run over.
Well, they say, like I said, he's very quick. He doesn't mind getting in there, banging around with guys of similar size. He's not afraid to go after rebounds.
That sounds like how, I know people are going to be like, oh, this guy. But it sounds like that's how LeBron plays. Because I watched, you watch him play. That's what he does. He just goes after. He does that. It's called a rugby style,
right,
if you will. That's what you're doing. You're just going after it. You're getting physical. So, let's have the LeBron of Auburn. I don't care.
Well, and as far as handling the basketball, his skills must be pretty good because they have him listed as a guard in high school.
Yeah.
That's a guard.
A guard.
That's Michael Jordan at guard. I mean, I'm not saying he is equal to Michael Jordan, but that's the size that Jordan played with. As guard when he played with the Bulls.
Scottie Pippen was the greatest Chicago Bull of all time. Don't know if you know that or not.
Okay. Yeah. All right, then.
Sorry. I still love that commercial. Anyway, but I'm excited to see what will happen.
Well, and then the other one, to talk about him just a little bit, four-star power forward. This was the guy that reportedly was waiting in Bruce's office once the show cause was ended. And 12 hours after getting a chance to sit down and talk with Bruce Pearl in his office, Horace Spencer, 6'8", 225 pounds, again, another big-bodied guy that doesn't mind crashing the boards and doing some work on the inside.
That's a height where you're just reaching up and grabbing the nets right before the game, just a stretch. Just a stretch is what you're doing. So and I said this earlier to you, like, I'm pretty sure that conversation went, why should I play for Auburn? I'm Bruce Pearl. Oh, okay. That's how that conversation basically went. And it's like, you want to go get some Denny's? Let's go get some Denny's.
I'll be tweeting out at noon to let you know that I've committed. So just as you said, you know, 4 years, we got two.
Yeah.
In the matter of about 3 days.
And it's great. We've officially cracked the top 10 in the 25 recruiting class. In terms of rankings, we're in the top 10, 2015 recruiting class.
Wow.
Yeah.
I am excited, and I don't know that I've ever been this excited about Auburn basketball getting started.
And think about it. We're talking about Auburn basketball with less than a week to kick off. That's how important and exciting this is.
I'm telling you.
When has that ever happened?
I don't know. Not since I've been alive, I don't think.
No.
It's just one of those things that I think the house is going to be filled. You know, the fans are going to be raucous. This stacks up. I don't think we're going to be world beaters, but this should stack up to be one of the better basketball seasons we've had in a long, long time.
Those tickets are going to sell quick.
Yeah.
But, all right, but that is there any – see, I think that's the majority of what we needed on basketball, I think, because I'm excited. Sorry, I'm anxious because it's just so much happening. I'm feeling your energy now.
I'm trying to translate it over to you, man.
I will feed off your energy. What?
There you go. No, that's really – I just wanted to touch on the fact that his show cause has ended so Bruce can go out and do what we're paying him for.
He can be Bruce.
He can go be Bruce. And then the two recruits that have just come almost back – you just almost one on top of the other, and who knows what's going to happen – now that he can actually go out and the recruits can talk to him, they can come in and meet with the entire coaching staff,
yeah.
Bruce being there. You know, before, Bruce would have to go out of town, you know, just be away when they would come in, and you know, just to make sure there wasn't anything, you know, that anybody right. could say that he had improper contact before his show calls is up. But now his show calls is up. As a matter of fact, I think I saw on Twitter and maybe AL.com, where they were talking about the fact that a group of a little over 50 students met him outside of Auburn Arena last night, and they kind of celebrated up to midnight when the show cause ended, and then his team came out, they had a little celebration, and then he got to work.
Did they do like New Year's Eve and watch a basketball drop slowly to midnight?
I have no idea. I bet there was some sort of countdown going on.
There has to have been. Like just right outside of the new arena, just a basketball lit up, dropping down, 10, 9, 8, boom, happy Bruce year.
But I think there's a video where he's addressing them standing outside the arena. It's a very impassioned, very emotional Bruce. Pearl, and it's worth a listen and a look. Go to AL.com. I think you can find the link there. So,
oh, someone wants us to know it's time to talk about football.
I guess so. Okay, we're back here on Second Takes Podcast. Had to take a little break there.
We're that excited. We're going to go do some laps.
Ben told me, he said, you got to go calm down. all right, Ben, so we're going to shift gears now that we've got the basketball stuff out of the way.
Yay!
Going to get into our Arkansas preview. As we've already said, hey, this time next week,
yes,
we will have a football game to look back at. I'm over the moon. I'm just so excited.
I'm ready to show back up here. You know, I'll see you on Sunday after with my nice new raccoon suntan that I'm going to have from the heat and sunglasses. And I will wear that badge of honor proudly.
I don't want to hear about it. I've got to watch it from home. I'm just not going to talk about it.
But the good news is you don't have to fight any crowds.
Well, this is true. I can relax and get my beverage of choice.
Exactly. I'm going to have to pay. Well, actually, they reduce rates at Jordan-Hare now, so it's not that much.
That's right.
Yeah.
Take your $5 and get you a hot dog.
I get a hot dog and peanuts.
That's right.
Suck it.
Okay, on to the Arkansas preview. I want to take a look at several different aspects as we get into actually looking. For once, we can sit down and actually look at a game and We should have a depth chart should be out on Tuesday, I think is when it should come out. So we'll know a lot more then. But we're going to do our best as we sit here and record this afternoon and get our best guesses out there. First thing I want to talk about is Arkansas's offense versus Auburn's defense. And what you're looking at, what you're thinking, to give you some idea, you know, we gave up 346 yards defensively last year.
Yeah.
We only outgained them by 20 yards.
Yeah, well.
They returned their top three running backs.
Mm-hmm.
And as Brett has already said, that they cannot wait to get to Auburn to show the world who they are.
He also claimed that our style of play causes injuries.
So, what are you expecting out of the matchup of Arkansas's offense? Obviously, as we were talking about before, this is Alabama light, you know.
I said Alabama zero because it's just syrup, no taste or sugar.
Versus Ellis Johnson, that defense should have most everybody either nagging injuries at maybe the best, I think.
That's the only real question mark to me is the injuries.
Right.
As we hear about them from the defensive side of the ball, but I think they're being well managed from what I've read. I haven't seen them in practice, obviously, and I'm not going to.
Sure.
But I think they're well managed. As far as actually on the field, though, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Admittedly, Arkansas can't get any worse than last year as a team.
Right.
If they did so, you know, the thing about last year, yeah. Okay, you said we did 20 more yards than they did offensively.
Yes.
Okay. Here's the thing, though. We actually did something with the yards we gained. Clearly they didn't. Okay, so that tells me they don't know how to use what they've got. And I think, not to mention, even with injuries considering into the equation, the improvement we've seen it for with Ellis Johnson of year one to year two defense is astounding.
Right.
So I don't think it's going to be as closely matched as people think.
Well, I mean, their best scoring play was a Keon Hatcher 13-yard pass from Brandon Allen. And that was with 6:11 left in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Up till then, all they had been able to manage was a 34-yard field goal.
Yeah.
See. So, I mean, how much? But I guess the question is, if they're going to be better, then how much better is the Arkansas offense? And, you know, Auburn still has the edge defensively. I think that's what I hear you saying.
Yeah, I still say they're improved. But they're both improved.
Even without Robinson, Therese, if it's Justin Garrett and maybe, I don't know, McEnroe, Alexander, whoever they've got back there.
Having Garrett helps. Honestly, without Therese, that hurts. Yes, but I still say there's improvement, but there's still a gap between the two.
Okay, and a wide enough gap that
it's
not going to make that big a difference in the game.
Well, at least not in a negative way.
Right.
For us.
Well, you know, they did have three turnovers.
Yeah.
They lost two fumbles and one interception. So, any improvement that the Auburn defense would have from that standpoint, causing more or even about the same.
I'll take any turnover we can get.
You know, another three turnovers in the game on Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, that's three more possessions that our offense would have that they normally wouldn't have. So.
I mean, the more
good.
The more play time I see from our offense, the happier I'm going to be because that means the defense is doing their job well.
Right. You know, I don't think the Robinson Therese being out with a team like Arkansas, Justin Garrett may be the better choice there anyway. He seems to be a better run stopper.
Yeah.
You know, Robinson Therese, you know, he led the team in interceptions with four. He was very good at ball hawking, and I just think if you're going to have a smash mouth team, kind of like what Arkansas is trying to be,
yeah.
You know, Justin Garrett, who you know run fits a little bit better, and you know proved when he's healthy, he covers the run a little bit better, I think, than Therese did. Maybe the better choice anyway.
Well, see, and smash mouth was technically how Bielema had Wisconsin playing when he was up there, so.
Right.
Really, it's just the same old story, except you're going to have people who are more capable of running smash mouth because you're in the SEC.
Right.
But, yeah, that being said, if we know how to handle smash mouth football, we've shown that before. So, I'm like I said, yeah, if Garrett's the better choice, then I'm all about it.
Okay. I kind of see us putting 8-9 guys down in the box, you know, challenging them to to throw on us. You know, we know we have corners that can hold up, you know, in man-to-man. Matter of fact, that's the way they kept saying it over and over last year, that's the way they preferred to play.
Yeah.
they like to play the physical style, the man, and it worked, you know, for the most part. And, you know, and we've got guys that are going to be a little bit bigger, I think, in those places. You know, we've got guys a little bit taller, a little bit more length, and more experience. So I'm with you. I think I'd definitely give Auburn the edge there defensively.
Yeah.
I would probably look for, I don't know how many interceptions and things like that. I'd probably look for a turnover or two. An extra possession here and there, maybe, that the defense gives the O. And like you said, like you've already said, that's nothing but a good thing.
Yeah.
One more turn that Gus and Rhett have to move the ball down the field offensively is never a bad thing. So.
The G and R connection.
Right. Well, does the defense give us any points?
If they're able to recover fumbles or interceptions, things like that, I would say it's going to be probably more fumble-based if we're going to have any turnovers. So I would say we could at least get one score out of that, I would say.
Well, do you think – I guess what I'm saying is not an extra possession for the offense. Do you see the defense
actually
picking up a fumble or picking a ball off, you know
– and running back.
Yeah, are you going to be looking – when you're down there, are you going to be looking for a pick six or
– Yeah.
A fumble return?
I say most likely, since it is Smith, I would say more likely it's a fumble return, fumble recovery to the end zone. That's what I'm saying. Not much less likely than a pick six. Not saying a pick six couldn't happen, but right. I'm going to say it's going to be more likely a fumble recovery.
Okay.
And I can see that turning into points for us.
Okay.
Just saying.
Okay. I'm with you on that one. Okay. Well, let's turn the tables, Dan. Auburn's offense versus Arkansas's defense.
Yay.
Only 366 yards. You know, we rushed. There were games where we rushed for that much.
Yeah.
But total, we rushed for 233 on 46 attempts. At a 5.1 clip, you know, a little over 5 yards a carry. We were 8 of 9 for, you know, passing for 133 yards, you know, almost 15 yards per pass there. What are you expecting out of – we didn't have any turnovers. What are you expecting out of Auburn's offense round two versus Arkansas's defense led by Greg Schiano – from Rutgers?
Well, here's the thing. So it was 8-9 last year for Marshall on our program. Now, granted, yes, we know Marshall's not starting, but let's say he's going to go into the game at some point for the sake of argument.
Sure.
Okay, so he's not – Marshall now is not the Marshall he was a year ago.
Right.
He's better. So if we were 8-9 on an SEC road game, then I'm not that worried now, especially even if it's Johnson. Johnson's, I still say, he's probably got the more natural talent in passing than Marshall, but I'm not that worried when it comes to the pass game. I think, because this is a home game, it's an SEC opener, and yeah, there's going to be a little bit of bad blood, but I see no reason why our offense couldn't handle him.
Right. Well, the splits are Nick Marshall was 7 for 8 with 118 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Johnson did come in. He threw one pass for 15 yards. And, of course, the Nick Marshall had the one touchdown to Sammy Coates. You know, it was a long one down the sidelines. You know, I look for a lot more passing yards in this one. I think that Jeremy Johnson, if he's starting, I really think maybe Gus comes out with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, something to prove, to say we are going to be a more balanced offense.
Yeah.
I think Arkansas expecting the run might do what a whole lot of other people are going to do, a whole lot of other teams. They're going to put 8 or 9 in the box. They're going to bring that safety down. And just as we've been talking about all offseason, then I look for some play action with some deep routes. And Jeremy is consistent enough, and he's got a big enough arm that if Sammy Coates, Duke Williams, Ricardo Lewis, any one of those receivers that we've talked about before – gets behind a defender, he's got the accuracy and the big arm to connect with those guys, you know, 50, 60, 70 yards down the field. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see some of that, you know, off of some play action, you know, read option kind of stuff, lull them to sleep, and then hit one big over the top.
I wouldn't mind just hitting them hard early.
Go ahead. Jump on it.
Just show them, you know – quell their egos, because there's a weird Bielema's got an ego thing going right now where he just hasn't hit him yet, or he's just trying to give himself some fake confidence. I don't know, but hitting him early, I think, will shatter a lot of that fake ego.
to what you're saying is first play from scrimmage.
Yeah.
If we see 8 or 9 down in the box, play action, just go ahead and run one. Run a couple of guys down the field and see if we get somebody.
I'm not saying we should just go for broke, but I mean, if we can pull it off, pull it off, by all means. And I think it's completely doable.
I think they're gonna stack the box. They don't, you know, they got gashed for 233 yards last year. I think that's gonna be a bit of a sore spot for them.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think they probably would load the box up.
Yeah.
And so I think from the first play of scrimmage, that play may be there.
Yeah.
To just go ahead and have Johnson, you know, 5 or 7 step drop and send one on down the field. And, you know, if you've got man-to-man on the outside, as we've talked about many times, you know, good luck covering, you know, Sammy Coates or Duke Williams one-on-one with most any cornerback in the SEC. So, I definitely give the edge to Auburn. What do you think, is there a point in the game offensively where they take their foot off the throttle?
If we get it by 3 touchdowns.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't see us. Like, if it's fourth quarter, you know, and we're up, just for the sake of argument, 35-10, something like that. I don't think that'll be the score at that time, but for the sake of argument, if it's something like that, 35-10, that might be when. But I don't think until we've known that they put it out of reach of their hands, that they cannot win. I always hated in the older days, especially, oh, we're winning a little bit. Let's play a little more conservatively. I get the idea behind it. I just don't agree with it.
Let me tell you, I think this is an experiment for Gus.
Oh?
I think even if we get up by 2 or 3 touchdowns,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that until well into the fourth quarter that he takes his foot off the throttle. I think he might see if he has the opportunity. He may just see what the offense can do.
Yeah.
I'll give kind of what I think the score is going to be at the very end. We'll talk a little bit about that. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, if we can score in the high 40s, low 50s, if that's not
mm-hmm.
what he tries to do just to, you know, just to give everybody enough reps, game reps, and just let some folks, you know, carry the ball and let Jeremy Johnson throw and let Nick Marshall throw and, you know, just see what the, you know, turn the offense loose a little bit.
See, I would say that can work, but then again, I would figure that's a little bit more what week 2's for, considering who the opponent is.
Okay.
A little more razzle-dazzle. I don't know. It's all up to Gus. I don't know their game plan. This is speculation, but, I mean, either way is going to be fine with me so long as we win.
Right.
That's really all I want to see.
I love a quote that I saw by Damian Craig. Said, nobody can figure this offense out because it's in Gus's head.
Yep. He is a mad scientist.
Yeah.
He really and truly is. People don't understand that. They need to.
So, the next part is a little, maybe more questions here
mm-hmm.
Than anywhere else. Special teams. Who gets the edge in the special teams department? I mean, we know they've got, you know, they kicked a field goal last year. Then they, you know, they had 2 touchdowns. But, you know,
I mean, hopefully it doesn't come down to a special teams battle.
Right.
I don't think it will. Because for us, this is the first time we're coming in with an all-round kicker like this.
Right.
And I apologize. I always forget his name. I'll learn it by the end of the first game, I promise.
You talking about Daniel Carlson?
Yes, thank you. I don't know why I have the trouble with that name, but I'll
remember. Well, he's a new guy. Well, you know.
Yeah.
You got time to learn.
And the thing is, I just haven't seen him in action. I have no idea what he's truly capable of, and none of us really do.
Right.
That probably is the biggest question mark, is special teams, particularly on our end.
Sure.
I don't know. I really don't know about Arkansas's either, but I'm going to say for us, it's just how well does our kicker do? Because I'm not worried about, you know, returning and blocking kicks right now, because I know we can handle it when needed. It's really the biggest question mark for me is our kicker.
Yeah, I think you said something, and maybe the last podcast that we have, or at least one in there, where we talked about the special teams, and we talked about Daniel Carlson being the first guy since Damon Duvall to do everything.
Right.
And I remember one of the things you said, and I wholeheartedly agree with you, is I have been spoiled because for so long we've had really good kickers where it didn't matter whether we were punting, whether we were place kicking, you know, whatever it was.
Field goal, extra point, yeah.
It didn't matter. it was handled.
Yeah, where if they messed it up, if they muffed a punt, missed a field goal, something like that, we were genuinely shocked.
That's the only time, yeah, that we really even thought about it.
Because we would see somebody going up for a field goal, and we're like, oh, there's 3 points guaranteed.
Yeah, even if, I mean, and we've had kickers that could kick it from 45, 50 yards away.
Yeah.
You just expected them to hit it.
Yeah, we're okay with it now. Yeah, we have been spoiled for the past, well, 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, if not more than that.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. And like I said, I'm not necessarily worried he's going to be terrible.
Right.
If he's doing everything, he clearly has something good going for him. I hope.
Well, I think he was brought in, at least one of them, maybe both of them were brought in on scholarships.
Okay.
And for you to be able, I mean, for you to be brought from high school on a Division I scholarship anywhere.
Yeah.
You must know how to do something. You know, his leg may not be as accurate and as strong. He may overkick. You know, where we're used to Cody, you know, Cody and them being able to put it pretty much wherever they wanted to.
Yeah, to go on with the scholarship point, not to mention these are big shoes to fill. We just mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, we've been able to rest easy. But, well, we'll just have to see.
I think more importantly for me is I'm less worried really about the kicking into things. I want to know who's going to be on the receive, you know, the kick returners. Again, you know, that's been a problem spot, but last year it seemed to be pretty well handled, you know, with Chris Davis and the guys that were back there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who are going to be the guys, you know, that are going to get a shot at returning? You know, the kickoffs and the punt returns. And I'll be honest with you, with the way that Chris Davis, Trey Mason, and some of them handled it last year, I got a little spoiled and expecting a good return.
Yeah, I think it's just all question marks because, you know, Davis wasn't even on special teams till last year.
Right.
I hate to say it. It's going to have to be wait and see type of deal. Because we don't know. We can sit here and speculate and say who's potentially on there. And I'm sure the depth chart will show when it comes out for sure. But we'll have to just wait and see. I really want to see the depth chart before I see really what our potential is.
I'm going to go a little different. Trey Mason made me nervous being back there.
Yeah.
You know, he's your number one running back. I can see the advantages, but I can also see the disadvantages for having somebody like a Corey Grant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think Cameron Artis Payne's going to be back there, but somebody you know, like a Corey Grant or Ricardo Lewis back there. Those guys that are running the speed sweeps, I know you can get hurt running a speed sweep just as much as you can get hurt running back a punt return or a kickoff return.
No, you're building more speed.
You know, but I really like those guys and want those guys to be healthy for those, you know, for those outside runs, those speed sweeps and things like that. So I guess I'll be nervous if I see them back there, but it's not that they'll do a bad job. It's, you know, I don't want them to get hurt so that we've got their speed on offense, you know, where we need it. I think we need it more there.
Well, like I said, I'm waiting until the depth chart. I just want to see the depth chart on as far as special teams go. We got a pretty good idea. Defense, offense, special teams is probably the biggest question as far as depth goes.
Right, and that's a nice feeling. I mean, this is a nice feeling not having to worry about who your quarterback's going to be.
Yeah.
We've got you got plenty of receivers, got plenty of running backs. Defensively, I think except for the back end is pretty well set.
Yeah,
you know, and I think the problem at the back end is just guys competing for jobs.
Oh yeah.
You know, I don't think it's a lack of talent or a lack of depth. I think it's just, you know, they're really fine tooth combing this to find, you know,
a fine crop of talent.
Yeah, you know, it's not like we're trying to piecemeal it together. I don't think. I think it's letting the guys compete, letting them really find out who's one, who's two, and then on down the line. So
yeah.
Last one, and this was going to be kind of fun. We'll have some fun with this one.
Huh.
Better coaching staff.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, gee. Let me get out my decoder ring and crystal ball and figure that one out. Seriously?
Hey, I'm breaking down all the aspects.
Okay. let's just pick two from each, shall we? Okay. On our side, we got Malzahn, the mad scientist, the guy who literally said, when asked, what would you be doing for coaching? He said, I'd be broke. Meaning, I don't know how to do anything else. There is no plan B. This is it. Okay.
Go.
Then we've got his understudy. Okay, his right-hand man. We got Rhett. Okay, Rhett is, he really isn't many miles on. I fully believe it. And when he comes into his own, it's going to be scary what we see. Okay, that alone. And I didn't mention Johnson, Craig, anybody. Just those two. Let's just focus on them, okay? That alone is worth its weight in gold. Now let's go over to Arkansas. With we got Bulimia over there, you know, puking up facts that aren't true and just trying to make excuses for everybody. Remember when he made an argument like, oh, we had a 2-second glitch in some game film we got, yada, yada. That's the stupidest complaint I've ever heard. It's still the stupidest complaint I've ever heard. And then what's the dude's name from Rutgers I barely noticed?
Well, I mean, if you're gonna go apples and apples, Jim Chaney is his offensive coordinator.
Oh, okay. Well, sure. We'll do that. Rutgers, whatever. You played Rice. There you go. That's my argument on that one. With that. Oh, hey, hello, Rain. Anyway.
Hello, Rain.
Sometimes we know the weather. So tell me about Jim Chaney. Tell me something about him. I guarantee you, it's useless. But go ahead. Give me some juicy on this guy.
Keep talking.
Talking. Let me pull
Jim Chaney up here.
okay, sure. Let's see. And you know, and I said this before. I still feel bad that Arkansas has to suffer through all this crap. Seriously.
Well, let's see the last place he was at. He was an offensive coordinator for 3 years at Tennessee Volunteers.
Oh.
He was offensive line coach for the St. Louis Rams for a couple of years. Purdue Boilermakers, Wyoming Cowboys. Was where in the Cal State Fullerton, Western Michigan, and again Cal State Fullerton. After he was a nose guard for Central Missouri.
You have toured the Taco Bells of football. You could have gone to Chipotle and done something better. Now you went Taco Bell, and I was hoping your quesadillas were okay. They were terrible. Good grief! The Rams, bad Rams, and the Volunteers. Bad Volunteers. That should speak for itself. I really shouldn't say anything. His record just spoke for him. He is a Taco Bell manager trying to serve at a fancy restaurant. Turns out the restaurant's been run down for a while. Used to be really good, now it's going to be on Kitchen Nightmares. That's my metaphor for Arkansas.
And I may have been incorrect. Chris Ash may still be at Arkansas. It may not be Greg Schiano. He may have just been commenting on the fact, but it may be Chris Ash.
Chris Ash.
who was with Brett at Wisconsin, then Iowa State, San Diego State, and actually came up, spent a little bit of time with the Drake Bulldogs before going to Iowa State. So,
I mean, I get bringing somebody along that worked for you, but clearly he didn't amount to much on his own. Drake,
that.
Like the rapper?
No, like the college Drake.
There's a college named Drake.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm sure somebody thinks I'm very uneducated after saying that.
Probably so. Yeah. There's somebody out there going, I know who Drake is.
Well, tweet at me. I don't care. Send me a picture of the school, and I will acknowledge its existence. Pics or it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's internet lingo for the kids. Yeah? You got it?
Yeah, I was just looking at
he's making his reading noises in case you didn't know.
Yeah, these are the things when I'm looking up stuff that when we need help finding things. All I see is I'm sorry. Rob Smith is apparently the Chris Ash isn't with him anymore. It's Rob Smith is the defensive coordinator.
Okay.
I don't even know who Rob Smith is.
That sounds generic.
Yeah.
Was he like doing like the sports equivalent of the Daily Show or something?
I guess.
He was a sports correspondent?
According to this, he's defensive coordinator and secondary. His prior college was Allegheny. He came from Allegheny College.
I've actually heard of that one.
There you go. Says this, Smith spent the 2013 season as linebackers coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after 14 years of collegiate college experience. So there you go. He got him from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he was a linebacker coach.
Huh. Huh.
He has NFL experience.
I wish that people could see my unimpressed face.
Yeah.
It's so strong.
We need a camera in here right now. to be simulcasting this so you can see.
I said I wish I could see. I didn't say I wanted to break equipment.
Uninteresting. Okay, well, you know what? You've compared offense and offense. How about defense and defense? You know, you've got the Rob Smith guy versus Ellis Johnson.
Well, let's see. There's probably a reason I've heard of one before he was hired and not the other. And that really should sum it up.
So basically, your argument is that Auburn has a far superior coaching staff. Is that where you're falling on this?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like,
I just want to clear it up for the podcast, you know, listener out there.
Okay, here's the deal. It's like the first half of Little Giants, where clearly the Cowboys had the better staff and the Giants had Rick Moranis.
Sure.
Now, it's going to be funny if Arkansas gets so desperate they're celebrating gaining a yard.
Right.
That won't happen, but at the same time, they're also not going to suddenly win with the play called the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Right.
So, it really is. It's like...
Terrific play, by the way.
It is a terrific play. I still don't really know how it worked, considering he came up with it by playing Madden 94 on the Super Nintendo. It's just funny to me, because, like I said, it's like that. Al Bundy's going to out-coach Rick Moranis. That's what's going to happen.
There you go. But, yeah, okay. Well, there we are.
Yeah. I'm ready. I'm ready now.
So, all right. One last thing, and then we'll get into it. We'll get into what we think the score is going to be and all that. Does Nick Martin, I mean, if things go just, if it's a utopian society down there in Auburn, Alabama, and we're up.
It's not?
No, what I'm saying is, during the football game, if we're up by, if it's 28-0 at halftime.
No.
Okay. Does Nick Marshall play? I mean, do you even if his suspension is a half?
Well, it's interesting because I don't know.
Do you even bring him in the game if you're up four touchdowns?
Maybe not.
Because at that point, Jeremy Johnson is obviously throwing the ball well. Defense is playing well. There's obviously a chemistry going on with the team.
It's such a weird gray area. Because here's the deal. I think I mentioned it before. I read an article where people said that Malzahn's the punishment route he's been taking with Marshall was considered pretty good because he was making him wait. Of course, Marshall's going to be chomping at the bits to get in there, and I don't blame him. It's just hard to say. If we're up 28-0, do we let him just go in for a snap to signify his suspension's over, or do we just let him wait out the game? I don't know. There's a lot of variables. I don't think we're going to be up, 28-0. I legitimately don't. As much as I've been ragging on Arkansas, like I said, I don't think we're going to dominate that much. I'd be happy if we did, but I don't think that's going to happen. It's just such a variable. And again, it's all in Gus's mind. I think he knows exactly what he wants to do, but we just had to wait it out. I think it would be just a one snap type deal if it's up that high, just to signify suspension over.
Will we know on Tuesday?
Maybe.
Or will we find out Saturday at 3 o'clock?
We'll probably find out Saturday at 2:49. That's my guess.
There you go. Because somebody's got to suit up and somebody's got to go out there for the first snap, right?
He'll be suited up regardless, I guarantee you.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's not going to be in street clothes, obviously.
No.
And what happens, here's one of my things, is I'm afraid of what may happen in the Twitterverse and in the, I guess, court of public opinion. If his suspension is that he doesn't play the first series. I don't know that that's right to Johnson.
Yeah, that's true.
You see where I'm going with this? I mean, you know, you've had him prepare, you know, obviously to play the first series, to be the starter. Is it fair to Jeremy Johnson to throw him out there for a series and then say, you know,
no,
that, now you're back to backup quarterback?
I think...
Go down there, score touchdowns.
I still say realistically it's going to be a half at most. I really do. That would be wrong to Jeremy Johnson to just do a series or even just three series and take him out.
Yeah.
I say it's going to be a half. I fully believe that.
I'm good with a half. I could legitimately see in this Jeremy Johnson playing to halftime and then starting the second half, the first series, you know, Nick Marshall is back. And the offense is back to running.
In my head, worst case scenario, maybe out for a quarter and people grumble about it for 3 days on social media.
Right.
Whoopie-doo.
But we don't know, and here's what I'll say to the people on social media that may do that. we don't know what sort of penalties he's already had to pay.
True. I mean, we know he had to pay money.
I mean, you know, we brush it aside when when somebody gets in trouble and Saban says we're handling this in house, mm-hmm. and we just take that.
Yeah. Well, I don't, but they do.
Well, what I'm saying, it usually in the Twitterverse, you know,
yeah.
on Twitter, people just, well, you know, they may say this and maybe most people say, you know, well, he's handling it.
He's handling it now. I mean, it means he's going to punch him, right? Yeah, he's going to punch him. Oh, I'll teach him.
So, I mean, this has been going on for how many months now, and who knows what Nick has had to do and not had access to. I mean, we know, you know, that he wasn't at SEC Media Days. You know, we know these different things. He hasn't been able to talk to the media until recently, those sorts of things. So we don't know what has been going on.
It reminds me of like when you're a kid and your parents are mad at you, they send you to your room to think about what you've done, and then they're going to come in there with punishment. If you're a kid that worries, you're going to be sitting in your room freaking out, get paranoid about, oh, God, what are they going to do to me?
Right.
I don't think it's necessarily that bad, but it's an idea of it.
Yeah,
easily.
I think he is probably, at least probably from the emotional and mental thing,
mm-hmm.
he's probably paid his dues.
I guarantee you.
And I'm sure physically as well.
The team's still standing behind him, so I'm assuming he made amends in the best ways possible.
Yeah. You know, his teammates haven't come out and just gave up on him, so he's doing something right behind the scenes. So,
yeah,
you know, if it's a quarter, it's a quarter. You know, I'm with you. I think I'm looking at probably half.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. And then, you know, see him out there start of the third quarter, regardless of what the score is, just to get him some game reps, you know, and let him run the offense until it gets out of hand. And if it gets out of hand, you know, go ahead and sit down, rest. So that brings us, we'll kind of close up today, with, you know, what, score-wise, what are you going to do?
Score-wise, I mean, I know I've given it before, and I'm trying to remember exactly what I said before, and I'm pretty sure I said something to the effect of, like, 42-17, something like that, 42, maybe 21 at the most, something like that. Mm-hmm. I think it's two possession score. Minimal.
At least by 14.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's the fairest number. There is the variable with Marshall. That's and our special teams. That's about it. So that I'm not that worried. I'm really not.
Not so fast, my friend.
What?
I don't think it's that close.
Where'd you get a pencil?
Magic. I don't think it's that close. I think we come out throwing early and often with Jeremy Johnson. Again, I think Gus has got a point to make.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that this is not the 2013 offense that's, you know, that needs to run all the time. That it is more balanced. And you know what? I think we're three touchdowns. I think 21-24 points is the difference.
I'll take 21-24.
You know, I think you're bored. I honestly think you're bored by halftime.
You think so?
I think so.
I hope not. Because I plan to have a fun day.
Oh, I think you're going to have a fun day. I'm just saying, I think that the crowd is bored by halftime because it's that lopsided.
Well, hey.
I think Arkansas gets maybe a touchdown, maybe even two touchdowns in the second half late.
You know why I won't be bored at halftime?
Because
the Auburn marching band is going to put on a heck of a show. Halftime is game time.
You want to tell them why you think that, or should I?
Yeah, I'll let you tell
them. He's a former band member.
Yeah.
And so for him, game time was that.
That's why this is why football games are more special to me now, because I can actually sit back and watch them.
There you go.
And enjoy them, and it makes me very happy. But I look, first of all, I was good friends with the quarterback in high school. For anybody who's like, we were both supportive of each other. Enjoy everything that is Auburn. One thing I haven't, when I went to Auburn as a student, I noticed, you know, in high school, you're like, oh, they're in band, let's be a clique, whatever. People supported everything.
There you go.
The band came out, you got excited. Wide drum majors coming out there, stabbing the ground with the baton, marching everybody out there, playing the songs. Then the team comes out through the smoke. It's just, it creates an atmosphere from beginning to end. And from everyone entering the stadium to when everybody leaves, there is an atmosphere and an experience happening, and you should enjoy every second of it.
So let's talk about your day in Auburn. If you get your perfect day in Auburn, before game time, before kickoff, what are your rituals? What are you doing? What is Ben doing leading up to kickoff?
This is a little different because I spent a lot more of my game visits when I was a student. Now that I'm an adult and I don't live in Auburn, it's a little bit different. Right now, I'm going to be trying to tailgate in the morning. you know, just having a blast, do whatever I can, have some fun, not too much fun, because I want to be able to enjoy the game. If you people know out there what I mean, you know exactly what I mean. Get some lunch, Mama Goldberg, something delicious, of course. Then kickoff, enjoy the game. Kickoff's at 3, so I'll probably be in the stadium around 2:30, something like that. Which means the game will end roughly, 6:30, something like that. Yeah, we'll see. Rough estimate. Afterwards, we're celebrating. I'm getting my score shirt from Tiger Rags. Okay, I'm getting the shirt. It's happening. It's happening that night. I'm not leaving Auburn without a shirt. All right, so but after I get my shirt, I'm going to go have dinner somewhere awesome. I don't know. Maybe I'll go to Sky Bar. Maybe I'll go Mellow Mushroom's still there. I love Mellow Mushroom. I'll go get something like that. My perfect day is I am in Auburn just remembering why I love it here. Then I go and I appreciate the awesome team that we have there. I hope to see some amazing plays, and I hope to see a true taste, since it's the first game, of what this team's truly capable of. I hope to fully understand. I want my beliefs to be confirmed that we are going to make an emphatic statement on game one. I'm sure they won't give us credit. They'll find a way. You know, college football final, we've all seen it. You know, don't believe me, go look at what Lou Holtz said after he won the Iron Bowl. No credit whatsoever. You're your crowd. Shut up. Look, it's always a hostile crowd in the SEC. It doesn't matter where you play.
That's right.
It's going to be, I truly think, it's hot. I don't care.
Are you doing Tiger Bowl?
I'm going to try to. I haven't gotten to do Tiger
Bowl
before.
Usually I miss it. That's going to be a big crowd.
It is going to be a big crowd, but you know what's going to happen? Is they're going to take pictures of people at Tiger Walk, and you're going to see me posted on that little Tiger Walk wall in the museum. Okay? You're going to see these and be goofy and be like, hey! And it's going to be me high-fiving Gus.
It sounds like Ben needs a place to tailgate, so.
Yes, if you want to give me a place to tailgate, I got 4 other people with me, and one of them likes to drink beer. Just saying.
Oh, so a little liquid courage for him.
He likes liquid courage, but he also doesn't mind providing liquid courage.
Okay, well, that's a fair
out there. That's a fair trade. That's you fair. Spot of grass for liquid courage. Fair trade, I think.
There you go. Some good food, good times.
Yeah, play a little
with Auburn. Yeah, with Auburn fans.
Yeah, football, cornhole. Everyone's the Auburn fan.
That's right.
That's it. Can I actually that segues into something else I want to talk about?
Fire away.
We mentioned this earlier.
Okay, fire away.
I won't dwell on this too long. So it was reported earlier in the week there was going to be a dunk tank set up for Harvey Updike for charity. I'm usually behind almost anything that's for charity because it's charity. This one I automatically knew was going to be trouble. And sure enough, within 24 hours, I think it was canceled because Updike received death threats. Here's my point. Yes, what he did was atrocious. It was classless, terrible, and it was a criminal offense. However, we need to get one thing perfectly clear. As devastating as it was, he did not take a life, an actual human life. That would be the worst crime, and he would be in jail for that, not in a dunk tank. Making death threats is below what a person should do, and let alone anybody in the Auburn family. I know the Auburn family is better than that. The people who did that, you're no better than what Updike did. Now, I'm very disappointed in those people. You do not ever. There is no reason, no call. I don't care unless he physically assaulted and killed somebody in your family. Not one single bit of justification for that. I am disappointed. It's on record. It's recorded on record. I'm no fan of Updike. Not in the slightest. Never would I ever send him a death threat by Twitter or anything like that. And I know. I've been on the internet a while now. It's very easy to be brave behind a keyboard. You need to check yourself. There is no excuse for that behavior whatsoever. And I hope I don't know any of the people that made the death threats, because I will tell them the same thing to their face. I'm ashamed of you. You should not do that. So, like I said, and you said it earlier, you want Updike to kind of fade into obscurity.
Yeah, my take on this, and I'm going to side with a lot of the people at College in Magnolia. Mm-hmm. And Walt Austin, who kind of manages the site now, took over for Chris Furmeister, wrote a wonderful article about this. I kind of agree with him and say, you know, it's time as Auburn family and Auburn fans. We can't control what the Alabama people are going to do if they keep throwing him up. But let's let him just fade into obscurity. Yeah. I mean, he's had his moment in the sun, his 15 minutes of fame. I don't care if we never mention his name again and we just go on.
Yeah.
You know, he caused enough pain and enough grief. Let's let him go. I mean, just let, you know, let him fade in, you know, into the background, into history, and just, you know, wipe him away from our memory. And you know what? Let's just go on.
I want it to be in the point where, you know, I want him to become kind of like the voice of, or that name that when you hear it, you go, oh yeah, that guy. You don't sit there and be, you don't suddenly feel rage when you hear it. I want you, you're going to feel somber regardless, just because that's his fault.
Yeah.
You're going to feel somber, but I don't want there to be rage behind it. We're better than that.
Right.
Be better than that.
Yeah. So, you know, Auburn family, let's, you know, let him fade away. You know, the death threat is just too much.
In fact, unless he does something else stupid, I'm not going to bring him up anymore.
No. I was done a long time ago.
So,
and I'm only bringing him up because, like I said, you know, just the things that have happened here recently.
But I mean, I've made jokes, but now I've kind of realized it's time for those to end.
Yeah, you know, we're well beyond that. Ben, anything else you got hanging out there?
Outside of the Auburn world, which there isn't much outside right now, I do have another podcast episode on my end, an Unimportant Radio, coming up with a good friend of mine. So be on the lookout for that one.
Awesome. I can't wait to be back on that too, by the way.
Oh yeah. Oh, I've got something planned for you to come back for. don't you worry. I just need a couple of other people. We're gonna have a nice little round table.
We have a good time. If you haven't checked out Unimportant Radio, you need to do that. It's fun times.
If you think I rant about football, what do you hear about what else I say about the world in general?
There you go. Just on my end of things, just a little bit of housekeeping. Check me out as we go throughout the football season, and then as we get closer to some of the spring sports and everything, I'm going to be writing for College and Mag, collegeandmagnolia.com. So that's an exciting new venture that I've been kind of getting my feet wet doing that.
Yeah.
You may hear me on another podcast or two coming up. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too much, but check out the guys over there at College and Magnolia. If you don't go over and read some of their articles, you're missing out. There's some good stuff over there covering just about everything Auburn.
Yeah.
And so wanted to give them a plug and send you that way. Also, I'm sure this being game week, you're going to have a lot of other shows about the predictions and things that are going on. So stay tuned right here to War Eagle Sports Radio. Check out all the other great podcasts, you know, with good folks like Philip Marshall, Blake Ells, and Inside the Auburn Tigers, all those sorts of things. Another big shout out to them. And I guess until we have the game to review, mm-hmm. Ben, and we get together next time, War Eagle.
War Eagle.